First Corinthians chapter 2. And I think sometimes we get a part and we don't always get the whole thing. And today, as I was going before the Lord, doing a little bit of studying, I came across something that seemed to be pretty strong and to share with you a little bit of his love and the things which he has prepared for us. So the sixth chapter of, I'm sorry, the 64th chapter of Isaiah, verse 4, it says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he has prepared or made or done for him that waiteth long for him." That's kind of confirming that word, my friend. Going before the altar and waiting long for him. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. "But as is it written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now everybody knows that. But I wanted it to go deeper today. "But God has revealed, uncovered, disclosed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches or examines all things, yea, the deep, profound mysteries and the things of God. We were blessed in him before the foundations of the world. The good things that God has prepared and ordained for us are not future blessings." Did you hear me? They're not future blessings, nor are they in the sweet by and by, but were created by him since the beginning of the world. You say, oh, well, get a new clue. For the word for prepared in 1 Corinthians 2:9 is hetiomazo, and it means to provide or make ready, to make the necessary preparations, to get everything ready. It is drawn from the original Oriental custom of sending persons ahead of kings to level the road and make them more passable to receive one who is coming. Moreover, hetiomazo is in the aorist tense, which denotes a definitive point of time, especially in the past, which is totally what the opposite of the brain. The brain says, I'm going to get blessed tomorrow. I'm going to get blessed next year. No. Especially you were blessed in the past. These things, the road prepared beforehand, were made ready by the Father and the Son when they cut their everlasting covenant before time began. Jesus Christ is our forerunner. Hebrews 6, verse 19 and 20. Better to get that one down because you'll think I'm a nut. Hebrews 6, verse 19 and 20. He was sent ahead to clear the way, to be the way, or the road or path for his church, his royal priesthood, the kings and the priests who follow in his steps. All that preparation took place before the foundations of the world in the meeting. You say, what are you talking about? The big meeting that was scheduled when Jesus was chosen to be the Lamb. Everybody knows that he was the chosen Lamb. When was it declared and when was it prepared? Once upon a time, when there was no time, on the corner of nowhere, where there was nothing, there was a meeting. I'm being facetious, but I'm reading this because I know that it's going to wake you up, I hope. And after the Father was there, the Son was there, and the Holy Spirit was there taking the minutes. The minutes of that meeting became the volume of the book. Oh, by the way, your name is written in the minutes of that book. Say, my name is written.
My name is written.
In that book.
In that book.
Because I'm alive in him. There is neither has been since nor ever shall be again such a meeting, because there's no need of it, of having another one. Everything that will ever happen in the time and space world happened in that meeting. The works of God were finished in the meeting. Hebrews 4:3. You better write that one down, because otherwise you're going to argue with yourself. Hebrews 4:3. The Lamb was slain in that meeting. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18 and 20. Revelations 13:8 confirms it. And you and I were in there, in that meeting with him. Some of you better say ouch. Because you see, everybody has this crazy mindset that your spirit man had a beginning when you were born in the earth. Jeremiah chapter 1. I knew you before you were born. Jesus was the chosen lamb before he was born. There was one king that was named 200 years before he was born. And I could take you all over the Old Testament and the New, confirming this over and over. And yet you think, oh my God, I'm an accident. My mother didn't want me. My father didn't either. Guess what? They had 20 of them before I came. You think they needed me and wanted me? No way. So get a clue. You know, God is not baffled by your problems. You might be, but he's not. Before they created the sun and the moon and the stars, the Father and the Son made an everlasting covenant. A covenant is an agreement, a league, or a compact. The inner workings of this intertheistic covenant were simple. The Father decreed, the Son agreed, the Father spoke it first. The psalmist records the twofold decrees made by the Father to the Son. Psalms number 2, verse 7. Psalms number 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Okay. Psalm 110, verse 4, King James. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The word for decree in Psalms 2 verse 7 means an enactment, hence an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage. It speaks of something prescribed, such as a task or portion. The verb form denotes something cut in or engraved, determined or decreed. The Father said to the Son, you are my son. Then he cleared his omniscient throat, spoke, but once more, you are a priest. When the Father declared these words over the Word, the pattern Son, the eternal Logos, he spoke to you, he spoke to me. Every son, every rhema word, who was in him, heard the same decree. Simply, the Father said this to each of us before we were born. You are my child. I have something that I want you to do for me. Try that on for size. Say, the Father spoke it over me. I am his child. And I have something to do for him. It's not all about me. It's about his plan for me. Okay, take a deep breath. Let it go. The Father's decree is his will, his purpose, and his plan. It is our personal destiny, our foreordained ministry of our lifelong assignment to the divine prescription for our earthly existence. The God of all wisdom verified and validated our end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. New International Version. Are you ready for the Amplified? Declaring the end and the results from the beginning. In the meeting, the Father spoke first, the Son replied, the Holy Spirit again chose the psalmist to record the Son's response to the Father, sovereign decree, through David's Messiah exclaimed, Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The phrase, my ear hast thou opened, in Psalm 40, alludes back to a powerful Levitical ceremony, and it confirms by one of Isaiah's many messianic predictions. Exodus 21, verses 2 through 6. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife, then he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judge. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ears with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. Compare Deuteronomy 15, verses 12 through 17, with Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 6. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear, as the learned. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from the shame of spitting. The application is obvious. Messiah, the servant of Jehovah, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 5, loves his bride, his sons, by choice. He agreed to the word of the Father and gave his back to the smiters. Matthew 27, verse 26. His ear was pierced as it were married to his Father's voice. So it is for all of us who were chosen in him. The church is moving on from day 6 to day 7 from Adam. We love the people of God more than our own comfort and convenience. We choose, we agree to be his bond slaves. Romans 1:1. To let his mind be in us. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. We have been given the tongue of the learned. Moreover, in Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 9, where Psalms 40, verses 6 through 8 is reiterated, the phrase written of me is most significant. The word of is the primary preposition, peri, and it means all around or all about. Consider the English perimeter or periscope. Everything about Messiah's life and ministry were pre-planned, predicted, and he predicted Jesus, his mission, coming to planet Earth to be humankind's only Savior was locked within the bounds of a prophetic scripture. When the Father made his declaration and decree over his Son, the Word, the Logos, he spoke to every son, every word, every rhema within his Son. We were there in the meeting in him. We were there in the meeting with him. It was the corporate Son that he was talking about. He was talking about you and me being connected together as one corporate Son to accomplish a purpose for him in the earth. You say, well, what does that have to do with all my problems? Hopefully you'll put the problems aside and wait on the one who has his plan to reveal to you what he wants from you. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for you. Oh yeah, that's a wonderful scripture. But when it involves you being connected where he wants you, it's quite dramatic. He doesn't want you to go around always being a baby. He wants you to mature. And some of the problems that you have are for you to grow up, not to mourn and groan and cry. Because I've done all that. It doesn't work. When I was reading this afternoon and studying it over and over, the first time, some of this came back again last night because my grandson calls. He says, would you like to take a ride to go see Bright Nights in Forest Park? And of course, I wanted to know who was going because I didn't want to make sure that, you know, it was going to be convenient. And so, oh, just you and Meme and Gabby and me and my wife. And I said, great, come and pick us up. So off we went. Well, anybody know that you go up the street from Forest Park and you land right where the little white church was? And in 1979, my wife dragged me there with one of her girlfriends. In fact, it's the girlfriend that just lost her mom. And they dragged me to this prayer service that was happening on, I believe, a Friday night at this little white chapel in a big white mansion right next to Forest Park. And I sat through that, and I had been filled with the Holy Ghost now for a couple of years, so I kind of knew a little bit about word of knowledge and a little bit of my, you know, charismatic experience. But it was quite dramatic. And we went back a second time. And that one's real fuzzy. I don't remember much of anything about that. The third time we went, I didn't realize it, but Gino had been excommunicated and been removed from his father-in-law's denomination. And he had already started a new church, and they were at the big cathedral, Trinity Church. Anybody ever been in Trinity Church? Mm-hmm. It is huge. First time there, my wife and I, and of course her girlfriend, the three of us. And it's been maybe a year and a half or more since we've been. So God kept us out of all the fluff that was happening, and I had no knowledge. And Pastor Gino pulled me out of the crowd and just pointed his finger at me. There was maybe 150 people there in that huge basilica. And it has marble floors. And he said, sir, would you come up? So I went up and stood, and he anointed me with oil. He asked if he could do that, and I said yes. And I went out like a light bulb. Those of you who have been out like light bulbs know what it feels like. You're flat on your back and you can't move. And he began to prophesy over me. And here was the prophecy. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And he repeated it about five times. Somebody went to come and get close to me, and he yelled at them and he said, stay away. All of you stay away from him. God's working. And I'll never forget it, because every one of those words were like vibrating through my entire body.
It also became the biggest irritation that I had ever had about a word of knowledge. Because I went to everywhere that I could to try to find out what it meant, and nobody could educate me. Nobody knew what a priest in the order of Melchizedek meant. And to give you an example, this is approximately 4 or 5 years after that prophetic message. Now, I came back a couple times because the Lord told me it is yours. Well, if the Lord tells you it's yours, you better wake up, because it's not just somebody that's speaking it to you. It's like, wake up. You know, it's happening. So Irene and I are at a conference down at PTL, and I end up going to a seminar given by Dr. Roy Hicks. Those of you who don't know who Dr. Roy Hicks, he's probably with the Lord now, because he was probably about 75 then. And he was the executive overseer, or bishop, if you wish, over the entire west coast of the United States for the Assemblies of God. And I questioned him at a private conference about what it meant to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Never heard of such a thing, he said. I know it's in the Bible, but I have no clue. So here's a man who's probably written 20 to 30 books, because I had bought a few, and I still have some. Has no clue. Did you ever think that you are out of the norm? Oh, come on. How many of you have finally realized you're not normal? Thank you. If you've realized you're not normal, that's the beginning of wisdom. It really is the beginning of wisdom. When I came home from that experience, I was shattered. You know, here I'm looking to experts about the Word, about the ways of God, about people who, you know, kind of oversee lots and lots of the body of Christ, and they can't help me. But guess who helped me? The Lord. He got me to meet the man who wrote this book. The rest is history. Why does God choose to reveal Himself to you differently than someone else? Say, look at your neighbor. Say, He's got a special plan just for me. And it won't make sense to my brain. It might not make sense to your brain. But it makes sense to the Holy Ghost. So come on, Holy Spirit. You've got the minutes of that meeting.
And you will reveal
sovereignly what I'm going to be, who I'm going to be, and I'm going to be just like the firstborn son. That's what it says in Romans 8.
Jesus is the first
of the many brothers, and that includes me.
Hallelujah.
That's what I'm going to be.
Just like Him.
Scripture proves it. Amen and amen. Get ready for the new light that's coming in about who you are, because He'll reveal Himself. He will reveal Himself. So get ready. And don't just knock a couple times on His door and say, hey, let me know. No! Tenacious, come boldly to the throne of grace. If you have to crawl, crawl. Amen? Amen. That's all she wrote.